Okay, well, it's 9:02, so we better get started, even though there's people getting coffee and what have you. There's also people out there on the WebEx, so they'll wonder what's going on here in Vancouver. Welcome to those of you who are live. It's great to be here. And to those of you on the web, hopefully the sound is good and everyone can hear well. I'm here to talk about InTouch Insight, or INX, as we're known in the ticker symbol world. I have to put this slide up because, you know, I was told I have to put this slide up, so I'll expect you all to memorize it, you know. And know exactly what it says. It's all kinds of legal words. So who are we? Well, we've been around since 1992 in terms of in business. We were public since 2002. And we've roots go back to 1978 through acquisition on the mystery shopping services side of our business. You know, the mission statement there you see is create value by providing multi-location brands with tech-enabled solutions that improve system-wide performance, collect actionable data, and drive positive business outcomes. That's a mouthful. What do? We help businesses that have lots of locations. So people like Petro-Canada or Burger King, people who have a lot of locations across a lot of geography, and they have to maintain their standards of operations, of customer service, of experience, you know, everywhere at the same time. We help them in a few ways. You know, one of the things that makes us unique is that one-stop shop, we have software and services. So we provide things like feet on the street with mystery shopping and with site audits in their locations. We also have customer satisfaction survey software. We have forms and checklist automation software. And then we have our own hub technology that sits in the middle to report all the analytics and things back out to them. So we actually have a kind of a holistic view and help them run their operations towards this. We have been doing this for a long time, obviously. We provide those insights through our own technology, and we have very scalable technology. We've had one client that has 35,000 locations that we handle inside the platform. So we are built effectively to help these types of businesses. Therefore, it's not surprising that the industries that we serve are really the ones that are most conducive to that, right? It is restaurants, primarily QSR, frankly, if you can even narrow it down restaurants, the petrol convenience, you know, retail, grocery, anywhere where you think about where you're shopping, you're going out in the world and you're doing things. You know, if people ask me at a cocktail party what I do, I say I make sure that when you go out in the world and have an experience or buy something or go somewhere, you have a better experience than you would have had if we weren't out doing what we do, right, effectively. From a board of directors standpoint, there's five of us. Our chairman is Eric Butel, maybe a name some of you know. Myself, I'm on the board as well. Then we've got Lee Bennett, David Oliver, and Jennifer Batley. So we've got a fairly small, efficient five-person board. And for me, it's a, you know, why am I presenting here today? Why should you be listening to me today? Really, it's a question of value. You know, you've just heard people talking about, you know, mispriced Canadian stocks, right? If you listen to Paul or Brent. You know, they talked about growing profitable companies or being mispriced. Well, we did over 25 million last year in revenue. We only have a little over 25 million shares outstanding, and we are trading it right now. I just give some examples. That's a 1-to-1 ratio, right? If you're trading at a buck, you'd be 1x, you know, your sales. Yesterday we closed at 35.5 cents. Okay, so we are trading at a very big discount to our revenues, and we're growing this year. And while I'm not going to tell you that we're making that $500,000 Brent just talked about every quarter yet, but we're working towards more profitability, and we are in fact profitable. We are not losing money. We're not burning cash. So, you know, you should be in this room if you're interested in companies who have a proven track record of sticky clients, industry leadership, weathering crisis, long-term growth, responsible fiscal management, and avoiding dilution. And I put proven there because what I'm going to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes doing is showing you that. And then we'll take some questions because I do think there is a proof here that we can show. Here's some client tenure examples, right? These are clients that have been with us for more than 15 years. And those are logos you've heard of. These are places you shop, right? We've also got a group, I got some examples up here, people have been with us between 5 and 15 years, right? These aren't out of the blue. These aren't, you know, some, you know, auto shop that has one location on the corner. You know, we deal with some very big brands. But instead of me just telling you about everything about the company, I thought I'd do something a little different and have some customers tell you as well.
Working with a company like InTouch Insight gave us the ability to ground ourselves at what the customers are thinking. They were able to analyze the data on the back end. They were able to package it up franchisees. Authentic Pizza of Florida is an area representative market of pizza. We provide services to franchisees that are looking to open up a market of pizza franchise restaurant. As franchisees, we see things differently, and we kind of needed to align on the main person that matters in the equation as the customer.
Example here from a customer. Keep in, these are from the last few months. These are not paid people. We didn't pay them. We didn't give them a discount. They just did it because they like us. So, you know, and that person is just speaking, runs, operates 60 Wendy's franchisees and 40 Papa John's franchisees, okay, franchises. So, you know, he runs a pretty big business inside some even bigger businesses that we want to do business with. And so I show that just instead of me telling you, I can sit here all day long and say to you, yeah, we're sticky and clients like us and we provide value. You know, they're telling you the same thing, and that's why I did that. Industry leadership was the next thing I said that I would show, right? We do a lot of industry studies. We do consumer research. We do media packages out there, and we're getting a lot of really cool traction. You can see here, there's a clip in the middle there, is a screenshot from last year's MSNBC. It's just media coverage in the general media. We will have that again. October 1st, we're dropping our drive-through study data out more publicly, and it will be picked up by many major news outlets, primarily across the United States, and they will be naming us. When you see the clip on NBC and the nightly news at 6 o'clock, it says, oh, and the InTouch Insight drive-through study, and then they go and they do their human interest story around the drive-through, and last year Chick-fil-A was the winner, and that was kind of the highlight reel, right? We've got speaking engagements. On that slide on the top right, that's me in August in Los Angeles speaking to the gas and convenience industry, the leadership there. You've got at the bottom, I was speaking last week in Dallas to the food service technology conference there, right, to that industry. And in the middle, you've got my CRO, Laura, and our VP and our director of marketing, Sarah, are speaking at another food service tech conference from 2 weeks ago talking about the drive-through study. You know, we are out there. We have a lot of brand name recognition in the industries that we serve, and we're getting a lot of traction for that. And particularly in the United States, which is where we're focused, particularly in QSR and convenience, which is where we're focused. We have 4 of the top 10 QSR chains we work with, 19 of the top 50, 6 of the top 10, 14 of the top 50 for gas convenience, right? We are very much becoming industry thought leaders. We are the only company that uses all 3 widely available platforms out there in terms of the industry of The Ministry of Helping Auditors, there's a number of platform providers that do the inputs of labor and some other things. We're the only one that uses all three that has this, and the reason we can do it is because we have our own proprietary technology it ties into, so that I can report to my customers their data and analytics regardless of what platform I use. Other companies have to use one because they need the reporting. Really big companies can maybe get away with two. There's one other company that's pretty big in the space that uses two. We can use all three because, you know, we're larger. And we have those four software products, we have that platform, and we've acquired 12 companies. I'll show you a slide on that later. So we've absolutely, you know, becoming a gorilla to a certain degree in our knowledge as it relates to the industries we serve. Let's talk about crisis management. That's one of the other bullets I said I'd prove to you. I don't know where you live, but where we were doing business in 2020, a little thing happened in March, you know, a little pandemic issue. You might be familiar. Anyone have any memory of that? No. You know, for me, and I think for, I don't care how old you are, that's probably the single largest event, you know, that we've had to go through, so to speak, in our lifetimes, right? I mean, I don't think anybody, and I don't care if you're 90, you probably haven't seen in that time period anything quite that dramatic. And I always tell people that, from what I saw, there were three different types of companies that went through that. Shopify, man, that was right place, right time. That was awesome, right? That was a great thing to happen. Then you've got companies that hit a speed bump. Right? Well, we hit a brick wall. I just told you who my clients were, right? I mean, they didn't need me telling them they were out of stock or telling them that people weren't happy or telling them that there was, what the service was like. Hell, they didn't even want me in their stores because I was going to tie up a space from somebody who's standing in line 2 feet apart to get, or 2 meters apart to get inside, right? They didn't need me. So what happened? Well, we lost 71% of our revenue in Q2, right? I'll talk a little bit later, but we only kept the other parts because we have a software business. EBITDA, though, was maintained. Right? We retained our key clients. People came back, they stayed with us. Because, again, we talked about that sticky, right? More proof for the sticky, for the need. And we retained our key talent. We're very fortunate that our good people stayed with us. If you look at our revenue history, we grew 130%. Heading up to pre-pandemic. I will tell you that before the pandemic hit, in February of 2020, my stock was trading at more than double what it is today. And it was going up because I had another acquisition that I had lined up for May 1st of 2020. No, we did not do that one. Right? But we had another acquisition lined up. Stock was way well over double what it is today. We were growing. Things were great. Pandemic hit, right? I think we got swept up with the whole bubble bursting and then bathwater and, you know, splash. Here we are. But if you look since the trough in the pandemic, we have almost doubled our business since then. And we are now 32% higher than we were pre-pandemic. Right? Yet my stock is trading still at less than half of what it was before the pandemic. Look at the EBITDA results. Right? We talked about responsible fiscal management. We have been EBITDA positive throughout this entire time period. And, you know, except for, you'll notice a little blip. There's a little downward dippy thing there going on in 2017, right? Well, that was in 2018 in that area. That was because we made a conscious decision we were going to get into the SaaS software business. And I'll show you in the next slide, we raised money to do it, and we got into that business. And I'll tell you what, I don't care if there was a dip that year in profit. That was the best thing I ever did, because if I didn't get into the software business, I might have had a bit of a different financial experience and retention experience of my employees going through that pandemic, because that 29% of my revenue that I kept, a lot of that was software at very high margins, which was able to help me fund and keep some of those key people through that tough times. So it turned out to be, you know, the old saying, I'd rather be lucky than good. The timing turned out to be pretty good to be in the software business as well as the services business when we hit that time period. And again, I showed you this, you know, share history, you know, 25,000 is not a lot of shares, 25 million, pardon me, is not a lot of shares. It's even at the lower end of Brent's 25 to 40, but we used to be like 15. We've done one raise since we went public in 2002, and that was in 2017, and that was to get into the software business, and that's that black bar. That's the only big step change you see. The only other step change you're looking at there is in 2021, and that was because a lot of those key employees stayed with us, and they took pay cuts. They went without pay for periods of time. Right? We had people who stuck with us and put their own skin in the game for us to make sure we survived. We paid them back with shares in the company when things had come back and we could, right? And, you know, to make sure we retained those people and retained that loyalty. But those are the only two steps that you see. Otherwise, we are very stingy with our stock, right? We are not a dilutive type company. You saw the EBITDA performance. We don't have to raise money for our operations. Right, if I was going to want to raise money, it might be you could do it for an acquisition, but I certainly don't need to go issue stock to survive. Right, we fund our own growth. From a cap structure standpoint, share price, well, again, it's 35.5 cents when I woke up this morning. I don't know if it's changed yet. It was 37 when I did the slide 2 days ago. We only have 25 million shares outstanding. That's about a $9 million market cap. From an insider standpoint, Eric and I, the chairman and myself, are the two largest single shareholders in the company. We own 25% between us, 22% between us. And I will tell you that I don't have founder shares. I haven't been around since 92 at this company, or even 2002. I joined the company in 2011. And my shares are bought on the open market. And I can tell you that my average price per share right now is higher than the current value that we're trading at. So I'm not, you know, I'm in it with the shareholders, right, all the way. I have the exact same interests you guys do. Someday, I, you know, you can see my hairline if you're in the room. There's not a lot of it there. Someday I'd like to retire as well, and I'm looking to create some wealth through this situation myself. And I'm in it for real, and I'm in it with cash, right? So I want to take this thing the same place every investor wants us to take this thing. From an acquisition history standpoint, you can see that we've had, you know, like I mentioned, a lot of companies we've acquired all the way through. We're pretty good at it, at knowing what's going to be accretive and what's going to tuck in nicely. And we look for really good deals out there. We look for things where we can get creative with the structure. We bought two companies last year in last fall, 2023, Alta and Ardent. I'll talk a little bit about Ardent later because that's been a big mention in some of our most recent releases and MD&As. And I'll talk about on this slide here. This is just a bit of a summary slide of some of the things I talked about in the first few slides. And that is just what our ecosystem looks like. We have a platform that sits in the middle that our clients, so our clients actually access us through a customer experience platform. It's branded InTouch Intelligence. You know, we also have Lea CX, List Interpret Act. We have a couple of different brand names we use, but really it's that portal that they go to. And we have our customer satisfaction survey software that ties into that. We have our forms and checklist automation software, which ties into that. If you get a mystery shop or a audit from us, it also ties into that. So everything goes into one place for people to be able to look at and access their data. And that is a huge difference for us in terms of how we sell the product because, look, I'm not going to stand here and tell you, and we did try, by the way, but it turned out to not be something that was possible, really. I can't go compete with Qualtrics and Medallia for customer satisfaction survey software on the web with marketing. These are guys, they're billion-dollar companies spending hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing, right? But what I can do, what I have learned, and I beat them both in an RFP in the last few years, and what I can tell you is I can beat them if I go to my customers who are buying my services because they will then come to buy that from me. They trust me. They treat me like IBM instead of like I'm a small guy, and I get to bid fairly against people, and that's how I wind up doing it. Ardent is the other one. That's just a real quick, I've talked about this before with everybody, but Ardent is, it was a company we bought. It's in merchandising and services that are adjacent to what we do, but it uses a different type of employee. It doesn't use independent contractors, it uses W-2 type employees, a little bit different, so it's a separate company. We were gonna come out and I announced I was gonna do 25-40% growth, and we were gonna go gangbusters, but I also said I wasn't gonna make any more money, right? I also said I wasn't gonna make, it was just, we were gonna go get a land grab. The market, and I executed that. I showed the numbers in through Q1, and we reported it, and the market said, yeah, well, we don't care. You know, you've heard both Paul and Brett talk this morning about profits. That's the current mantra of the market and what's being rewarded. So we've retracted all that and said, okay, we're going to pull our NIN back in. We're going to retool. We're going to come back out, and we will. We'll come back out because I still believe in what they provide. It's still to the right customers, but we're going to retool it and come back with more profitability. So we're working on that right now. And again, we're profitable. This is somebody who uses everything. So I said I'd prove some things, right? And I, like I said, I don't know what kind of investments you like to put your money into, but if you like one that has sticky clients, is an industry leader, has proven they can weather a crisis, they've grown over the long term, right? Responsible fiscal management, avoided dilution. And again, we are north of the positive side of the profits, not a lot of money, but we're, that's something we're working on. We mentioned, we've indicated that's a focus for us as we move into 2025, right? I think you should probably take a look at whether you want to capitalize on the opportunity that is InTouch Insight. Now, I think I have literally 2 minutes. I think if somebody wants to ask any questions, but I'll also put my information up right now, and call me, email me. I'll be standing out there for the next little while. I'll be sitting at a table in another room for the whole day, and apparently there's a cocktail at the end of it, so. Any questions?
So you said you're going to work on profitability, like obviously the revenue line, correct? What kind of levers pull the margin?
The question is, how can we pull levers to drive the margins given that with the growth? So for us, you know, there's two different things that we can do. We have people doing a lot of the work that we do, right? Labor. So we have to figure out how to grow the revenue without adding labor. Right. So there's a number of things we're doing there on the operational structure. We've actually just restructured some of our internal operations to be able to add more without adding any bodies. We don't want to get rid of trained bodies because we like having trained bodies, but we can add millions of dollars in revenue and not add more people. That's the first thing. Second thing is we're looking at things like AI. Some of the tooling that we have done, some of the things that we're using right now out there, you know, even looking at evaluating, you know, whether something was done correctly. There's better and better LLMs out there. But we can start incorporating into our technology to maybe get more efficient, again, less people. So really the levers we're pulling are, you know, because I like to say, oh, raise our prices. Eh, there's a competitive environment, right? So really the levers we're pulling is on how to reduce that need for labor on the environment. Okay, thanks. All right, now with that, I think I'm out of time probably, but I'll stand out there and I'll talk to anybody who wants to ask a question. All right, thanks.